Lord God, I give you heartfelt thanks for the 250 years our nation has enjoyed. You have gifted us with independence and continue to provide our nation with victory over other nations that have sought to overthrow us or bring our land to ruin. Lord, keep this nation under your care. Bless the leaders of our land that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to the other nations of the earth. Help us, Lord, to elect trustworthy leaders, contribute to wise decisions for the general welfare of others, and help us to serve you faithfully in our generation to the honor of your holy name. I pray this be done with thanksgiving and praise for all of your providence and all of your care for me and all people who live in my nation, and for the many years of your gracious working. Despite our failures, you remain faithful. You guide us with your word, and you mercifully continue to bless us. Lord, I pray that this be done through your Son, Jesus Christ, my Lord. Hear me, Lord, as I pray in his name. Amen. The Christian, you see, stands in a unique position out of all the people of this world. The world is divided into two very different types of kingdoms. There is what we call the kingdom of God, and then there is the kingdom of this world. As Christians, we belong to both the kingdoms of this world, whatever our nationality is or where we were born, and we also belong, by God's grace, to his kingdom. So then the question comes up, how does a Christian live as someone who belongs to two different kingdoms? Well, this is what makes us altogether unique from the people of the world and so very different. As those who belong to God's kingdom, we live our life in the kingdoms of this world, whether it's the United States or any other nation, as those who first and foremost honor God. And by doing so, by honoring God, we live not only godly lives for the benefit of society, but we live lives that point to and direct the nations of this world to see the grace and working of our God. There were some men in ancient Israel who were taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had those men enlisted to be trained for his service when they were brought over in exile to the land of Babylon. These men were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You might know the latter three by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These four men were chosen to be trained and spent 3 years preparing for the service of the king. But something came up while they were being prepared to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. You see, they didn't want to defile themselves with the royal food that was being served to the people that were in the king's court. And so Daniel decided to ask for permission to refrain from eating the king's food. The guard, who was the chief official appointed over Daniel and the other three men, was kind of concerned about this because he thought, if I don't feed them the way that they should be fed, they might appear sickly and I'll get blamed for it. But Daniel respectfully said to the guard, "Test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearances with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and then just treat us as you see fit." At the end of the 10 days, sure enough, despite not even eating the healthier royal food given to the other men, Daniel and his companions appeared healthier and better nourished than any of the other young men. See, this is how Daniel operated, as one who lived in two different kingdoms. The Apostle Paul said that the Christian, the believer, is to be subject to every governing authority, saying every authority that exists has been established by God. And that means whether it's an authority that we like or don't like, whether it's one that took over power or one that retained power. The Christian says, God put that person in power for a time. They're accountable to him. Am I, in a sense, am accountable to them? And so Daniel, along with the other men, lived in a foreign land, citizens of the kingdom of heaven, but also respectful of the nation in which they lived. God calls on his people to give honor, respect, where it's due, to kings, governors, rulers, and all those in authority. And at times they may disagree with their rulers. But like Daniel, we can set aside all of our own preferences, and instead of joining in the refrain to rebel and overthrow authority, we can, like Daniel, use whatever means or provision God has given us to respectfully disagree when following the governing authorities might turn against God's word. Later on, those three men would be put to a higher test as they were commanded to bow down and worship a false god, and instead they trusted themselves to the God who had brought them so far into the service of the king. God spared them from the death by fire, as he protected them. Later on, as he grew into old age, Daniel would be tested as he was commanded to only pray to the king as his deity and not to his Lord. Daniel was tested as he was thrown into the lion's den. But God showed he is the God over all the nations. And even though for a time the Babylonians were able to rule over the people of Israel, the Lord remained in charge. The same is true today. Whoever the governing authorities are, God says, give honor to those whom honor is due. But ultimately, the highest honor is to our King Jesus. When Jesus stood on trial before the authorities, he said, you would have no authority if it were not given to you from above. And he submitted to even the decree of Pilate as he was sentenced to death because he trusted and entrusted himself to his heavenly Father. And by that death, God accomplished the greatest purpose of atoning for the sins of the world. You see, God is in charge of the nations. The scriptures affirm that over and over again. And Jesus, our living King, rose from the grave, conquered death, and promised that we will inherit a kingdom everlasting, one in which there will be no injustice, oppression, or rebellion. You see, Christians are different because they desire to, as far as it's possible, honor those in authority and give thanks to God for those who govern and rule. But they also recognize they belong to a higher authority, the King of Kings. And they love Him above all things because of His great mercy and love. That's why I invite you to join with me and all Christians in giving thanks for the freedoms that we enjoy, that we can worship in peace, and not to take that for granted. And when the time comes to turn against the authority because it will no longer allow us to worship, to do that with all respect, but willing to lay down our lives, because we belong to a greater kingdom. Thanks to God for the freedom He gives us now in our nation, and thanks most of all for the everlasting freedom in His everlasting kingdom. I'm Tom Barthel, pastor of Rock of Ages Evangelical Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. God's richest blessings are yours in Jesus.